Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to Paranormal Horizons.
Join us as we explore the
world of the paranormal. Paranormal on Blog Talk Radio. Relax, put your feet up, and get ready to enter.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Jason Ophir with NW Paranormal, here to host another episode of Paranormal Horizons. And I was listening to that intro there, and it sounded really jacked up on my end. Unfortunately, I don't have the world's greatest internet, and a first for me this evening is to be using Skype. So I hope that my voice will be coming over okay. You know, I did test it yesterday, and it seemed to be fine, but this is what happens when you're too cheap and poor to actually want to pour money into good internet. You get this really the crappiest DSL that one could have, and that's what I have. So internet in my household has always been a struggle. But my one person in chat has just indicated to me that I sound good so far. So hopefully the audio will be okay for the remainder of the show. And I don't know how long it's going to be. I don't have a guest, because the show's topic this evening is drama, more specifically paradrama, paranormal drama. So, you know, everything sounds cool when you add para in front of it. I don't know, it's kind of a quirk that I have. But paranormal drama is the subject for the show tonight. Unfortunately, Pat Rice will not be able to make it, so I'm on my own. And that's why we have no set time for the show. It could be 10 minutes, it could be over an hour. As long as I can keep my jaws a-flapping, which I'm not used to doing. And so this is the first show that we've had in a while. Pat and myself have been really busy. And, normally I'm not busy because I'm on disability because I was injured at work. But the reason I've been so busy lately is because I've gone back to school. I have not been to school in 22 years. So it was kind of a shock for me. And initially, I had a lot of anxiety about going back to school. You know, if you know me, you know I'm a really big, imposing biker. And to try and mix myself with people just out of high school, it's kind of weird because I walk around the campus here. It's a community college. And I get a lot of weird looks, you know. So it's kind of humorous. And when I was in class the other day, you know, because community college is really expensive to take. You know, it's about $100 per credit. So if you take, actually, I think it's more than that. I think taking one class cost about $600, and that's not including textbooks, which we all know are ridiculously expensive. But I was in class the other day, and there was a student sitting next to me, and we had only been in class for about a week, and the instructor's talking, and his head is on the desk, and he's not paying any attention. It looks like he's sleeping. So I get to talking to this kid, And he's telling me that he's, like, hallucinating. He's super high on mollies, which I guess is, I'm not a drug user, MDMA, and also mushrooms. And I couldn't believe it. You know, here I am, a 40-year-old man, getting free school because I'm injured, and here's a kid paying no attention, high on drugs in class, and I thought it was just super ridiculous. And so, I guess to sum it up, it's just been a total culture shock being back in the school. It's really bizarre. But as with anything in life, I will get used to it. So that's why I have been really, really busy. So with homework, and that's the other thing that's a shocker. Let me tell you, I'm only taking two classes, a writing and math, and the math is easy enough, but the writing class, the amount of homework they give you is just, I don't know, maybe it's not a lot for somebody that goes to school a lot, but for me, I was like, holy crap, this is a lot of work to do. So that's why I've been busy. Now, getting on to our subject, this evening is a drama, more specifically, paradrama. Now, I don't want to get into too much detail about what's been going on and the drama that I've not really been dragged into too much personally, but I've kind of been on the perimeter of it, so I'm kind of, you know, I'm kind of getting sucked into it a little bit. And one thing when I got into the paranormal world is I was really, really naive. I had no idea the level of drama there is in the paranormal. And let me tell you, wow, I had no idea what I was getting into becoming a paranormal investigator. So there's this big drama that's been going on, and it's been going on for many months now, and it's the reason that I no longer co-host Beyond the Edge of Reality, because I saw the direction it was going, and I kind of saw that the drama was never going to end. But unfortunately, I don't want to get in too much detail about it. If you're kind of connected on Facebook, you'll have an idea of what's happening. But and the reason I don't want to get into too much detail about it is because then it just kind of propagates it, and then I become part of the drama. But to summarize what's been going on is basically you have two people that for whatever reason don't like each other, or one person doesn't like what the other person said, and you have these kind of two type A personalities that basically go to war. You have one person that starts it or didn't start it, or maybe it was a misunderstanding, and you have this other individual who's just like thinks that they're absolutely God in the paranormal universe and starts a website and basically a blog slamming the other person. And then you have the other person's obviously offended by that this individual has been created a website pretty much dedicated to him, and then that person starts, you know, retaliating to the same degree, and then you have this just massive drama that just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And what happens is then suddenly you have all these people on the peripheral that start getting sucked into it, and it's like a freaking cancer that just keeps growing and growing and growing, and it's absolutely and utterly such a waste of time, in my opinion. You know, a lot of people out there don't know my history, and I spent 20 years of my life dealing with negativity. I spent 20 years catching shoplifters, being an investigator doing workman's compensation claims investigation, and mainly with the catching shoplifters. You know, it's like being a cop without a gun or backup. It's just, it's ridiculous. It's crazy dangerous, and I had many instances over the years. You know, back in the early 90s, it was the wild, wild west when you were catching shoplifters. There were no rules. You chased. You did what you had to do. You know, you fought them. Nowadays, retailers are becoming more stringent on their rules. Most retailers now have, you know, you can't go tackle people. But back in the day, I mean, it was crazy. I've got all sorts of stories. But what it was, I mean, you're dealing with people in that line of occupation that it's just negative. I mean, they're pissed, and it's just nasty. So all these years are just surrounded and surrounded by negativity. And it was only until this paranormal drama started, or after a while after it had started, I finally just decided, you know what, I'm done with it. I do not want to surround myself with this type of negativity because it really accomplishes nothing. And so this huge drama that has just exploded, I mean, you've got websites about people, you've got articles, you know, just blah, 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 blah. It's just turned into this own, its own entity. So it's just really crazy. So now you've got individuals, you know, suing other people and those people suing other people. So now you've basically got this huge legal thing that's probably going to come down at some point in the future, and it's going to be, it's just going to be a nightmare, you know. So hopefully, you know, it'll resolve itself, and the parties involved will come to some sort of reconciliation and kill it. When this thing first blew up with the first individual where this whole thing kind of started, I decided to mediate, and I was mediating the two people and came to an agreement, and you know, with all types of agreements, those things never last, and then it just exploded from there. And so I decided that I was no longer going to try and mediate these things, and I was also getting sucked into, you know, you have two or three people, and, you know, one side's sucking me in to believe them, and, you know, maybe then I started to side with that person, and that's when I came to the point, you know, that's it, I'm done, I'm not on anybody's side, I'm going to be like Switzerland, I'm going to be neutral. So that's where I am with that. So hopefully this whole thing will just kind of die down and everybody will realize that it's such a waste of time and energy. I mean, surely everybody involved in this will have better, realize that they have better things to do with their time. And we also have a comment in chat about a corrupt people and paranormal, and I'm going to touch on that in a second. So one of the things with this whole drama thing, I was listening to an audio tape. I know those are kind of outdated. Maybe those might have been popular 20 or 30 years ago. But it was kind of one of these motivational things. I think it was a Dr. Wayne Dyer kind of thing. And there was a story in there that kind of hit a chord with me. And it basically had to do with when you have or when you do, I can't talk straight. When you perform an act of kindness, a random act of kindness against an individual, what that does in your brain, and this kind of goes back to an actual scientific study that was done, was you get all these positive vibes when you do something nice for somebody. And also the person that you do something nice for also gets these endorphins, whatever, and it's a real positive experience for both of them. But that's no surprise. You can expect that when you do something nice for somebody. But what they discovered was that even somebody that observes an act of kindness is affected just as much as the person performing the act of kindness and the person receiving it, which is interesting. Because when you see somebody do something nice for somebody else, it triggers those same kind of things. So kindness is actually infective. And when I was listening to this audio tape, they had a really good story behind it. It had to do with somebody pulling into a toll booth and paying the toll for the person behind them. And then that guy pulls up and the teller or whatever says, that guy just paid your toll. And I don't remember the details of it, but that simple act of kindness, paying a dollar toll, actually kind of altered lives a little bit. I wish I could remember the details. So several months ago, I was having trouble getting a driver's license because I was unable to produce a certified copy of my birth certificate, which had a copy of a copy. Well, I think it has to do with 9/11 and new laws since then that they enacted at the various DMVs, which made you have to produce all this documentation, regardless of the fact that you've had a license in the state for 20 years. In fact, I was there one time. There was like this 70-year-old man who'd been licensed for 50 years, and he couldn't produce a copy of his... a copy of his birth documentation, and he was really pissed. So I was kind of running into the same problem, but I eventually got it sorted out. But I was in there a couple months ago, and I was sitting there, and it was crowded and obnoxious as usual. And there was this old lady, and she was not too far away from me. She was at the counter with the man. And the gentleman behind the counter told her, okay, well, whatever you're doing is going to cost $30. So she didn't have the proper form of payment, and he directed her to an ATM that was right next to me. I was sitting in a chair right next to it. So she goes up to the ATM. The poor gal can't figure it out. She's having trouble withdrawing money, and, you know, there's tons of people there that want to, you know, get the line moving, whatever. So she asked me if I can help her. So I stand up, and I help her figure out the buttons, whatever, which I thought was kind of weird, because here I am. I'm the scariest guy in the DMV. I mean, looking. You know, I don't dress well, because I don't really care about my appearance. I look like hell. So I help her with this ATM. And it kicks out a receipt. It doesn't kick out her money. And so she hands it to me because she can't figure it out. And I look at it, and this transaction has been declined. So I'm like, oh, well, you know, thinking to myself, well, it sucks to be you. So she goes back to the counter, and, you know, she doesn't have her money, whatever. And so she has to cancel the transaction. Now, mind you, she's been sitting waiting to do this just to get to the counter and to get turned down because she doesn't have the money. And it just so happened I had some extra money in my wallet. So I thought, you know what, thinking back to this audio CD that I listened to, I thought, you know, I'm going to try and make an extra effort to perform more random acts of kindness. And since I have extra money, I'm going to pay this lady's tab. So she started to walk away from the counter, walks by me, and I gave her $30 to pay her her bill there, and she was so happy. And so she goes, she deals with the transaction, she comes back, I think I was next in line. Anyway, she comes back and tells me how nice I was and gave me a hug, blah, 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 blah. And I was looking around because I was kind of conducting an experiment in my brain about who saw this, and I saw that several people had saw me do this. So eventually I got called up to the same counter, and the teller was all super nice, telling me how nice that was to do for her and said this and that. And so I kind of remembered back to, you know, this story about how doing nice things for people, it propagates itself. In itself, like the drama is a cancer. Well, doing nice things is also a cancer, but in a positive direction. So that was pretty cool, and so now I make more of an effort to do those nice things. You know, if you're in a drive-thru getting McDonald's, why not pay the bill for the person behind you? You go through a toll, you know, another time somebody didn't have enough money for cigarettes, I bought them cigarettes. I mean, every once in a while, you might want to try doing something like that because it makes you feel good, it makes the people around you feel good, in addition to the person that you're doing something nice for. And I'm a big believer in karma, so I think that stuff will come back eventually. Maybe not in this lifetime, maybe in the next. But if you're out there being part of these negative things, I also believe that these things are going to come back and haunt you in this life or, again, the next. And it really, it serves no purpose other than to make people unhappy. Because what do we want to do as people? Why do people out there use drugs? Because we want to feel good. This is why I drank heavily for 20 years, because I wanted to feel good. I don't drink. I haven't drank in 2 years. I quit. So if we want to feel good, let's do good things to people instead of doing bad things. You know, it was interesting. I just looked at the news for my area, and there's 30 or 40 stories. And I was looking down at them, and all but one was positive. Really? I mean, this world is so pathetic, and people are only interested in the negative, you know, that you can only report one positive story. It's always murders, robberies, rapes, molestation. It's just ridiculous. This is what this society has surrounded us with, is negativity. So in a sense, we're almost programmed to think that the way we do, what we have to do is we have to break those bindings and change our thoughts and ignore a little bit of what the world is throwing at us. So yes, let's all be positive. Now, it doesn't always have to be rainbows and unicorns. You know, a good way to start is just do those random acts of kindness every once in a while. And who knows, you might like it. You might go out there and do more nicer things. So that is my dissertation on drama and also feeling good. I also wanted to throw in, kind of switch gears a little bit. Before I do, I wanted to play a new comedy commercial that author Edwin F. Becker had sent me. I know it hasn't gotten a lot of play. I've been meaning to play it for a while. This show's never played it. But I wanted to play it to throw a little comedy out there, because comedy makes us feel good. So here we go. We'll come back, and I'm going to talk a little bit about paranormal tips.
This is author Edwin F. Becker. My success with 1-800-RENT-A-GHOST has been such that I have a whole new enterprise. It is for those that are thinking, man, I can't wait for that zombie apocalypse. Well, I have the answer for you. Dial 1-800-OWN-A-ZOMBIE. You'll be the center of attention wherever you go. What a surprise those Jehovah's Witnesses will get when they knock on your door. Are you the black sheep of the family? Just think of the terror you can bring to that next family gathering. I'll bet you never knew Battle Uncle Ned could jump tables and run so fast. Or, take your zombie to the next high school reunion. You can turn him loose on those nerdy brainiacs that made fun of you and say goodbye to their high IQs. Laid off from your executive job? Take your special friend to the boardroom to help you say farewell to your boss. You'll add a new meaning to the term budget cuts. Neighbors giving you problems making noise? Introduce them to your new pal and stand back, because all will be quiet very soon. You'll be waiting for that next a-hole to look at you and say, bite me. Because anyone who gives you the finger really does give you the finger.
Excuse me, kind sir.
Dial 1-800-OWN-A-ZOMBIE. Order now and get the free book, Sewing on Limbs Can Be Creative. Not responsible for infectious disease, death, mayhem, severed limbs, cannibalism, paranoia, loss of sanity, nor that god-awful stench. And one more thing. There will be no returns.
You gotta love that Edwin Becker laugh and the sheep. And the one thing that sucks about talking about drama is it really does not give me an opportunity to throw in any sound effects. I like throwing in sound effects. But there's no real appropriate location to place those. But I'm going to try and sneak in a couple somewhere. So I was thinking about what I could talk about, because I knew I couldn't do an hour on drama. So I wanted to talk about briefly some paranormal tips. Some things that I have learned as a paranormal investigator. Now, I don't do ghost hunting very much anymore. I actually haven't in quite some time. My life has taken different directions. But I have, over the years, learned a few things. And, getting back to our comment in chat about, I got to look at it again. This is what happens when you drink for so many years. Ruin your brain cells for a while. So, the question in chat, or the comment in chat, about a lot of bad, corrupt people in the paranormal. Let me go back to that, and then I'll talk about some tips real quick. There are a lot of really corrupt individuals in the paranormal world, everything from fraud to fakers. Now, the biggest thing that stands out in my head are the fakers. Now, I do follow a few paranormal Facebook groups, news sites, and I do read a lot of people's comments, and what I am seeing is disturbing. The level of fakery out there is absolutely nonsensical. People are posting photos with their phone apps, the ghost phone apps, And what's disturbing about it isn't the fact that there's so much of this fakery in circulation. It's the fact that people have lost their critical thinking skills. I see people posting photos that are clearly fake. Anybody could tell you that. I mean, I've seen photos where, like, I have the app on my phone. I'm like, oh, that's from my app. And you can clearly tell. Or there'll be news stories that are just so ridiculous, or videos, like a dragon flying over London, that are just so out there. And people are actually believing it. And it disturbs me. And it got me to thinking about, this is why people join cults, is because they're open themselves up to be so manipulatable. And I was, you know, I should start a cult. You know, I could have people give me their money, and I could get a ranch somewhere, and we could hang out, and I could wear robes, and everybody could worship me like Kim Jong-un or whatever his name is in North Korea. I mean, how awesome would that be? My message to the people that listen to this show, and by the way, the last show had hundreds of listens. I think we're almost at 1,000, by the way. Thank you for the people that listen to the archive show. And that's good for Blog Talk, by the way, is really start thinking. It is disturbing. You have to use your critical thinking skills. The majority of the material that you're going to find on the Internet, especially Facebook, is going to be fake to some degree, whether it's outright Photoshop. It's mostly nonsense. I would imagine that a very small percentage of the stuff circulating out there is actually real. So we need to really start being mindful of not believing everything you see and read, because this is a really nasty problem, because when you start doing that, it just makes things, you know, I hate using the same word a bunch of times, but propagate and infest, and these, it's just unbelievable. I mean, I'm almost speechless over it, just what I see out there and people responding. I mean, if you're listening to the show, chances are you're in the paranormal and you know exactly what I'm talking about. So I would suggest that people just take everything with a grain of salt. This is entertainment. Not everybody, you know, if somebody out there is saying they know exactly what ghosts are and what paranormal is, UFOs and all that, it's a lie, because they don't know. That's the thing, is we don't know the truth about anything. So if you have somebody out there that's saying they're an expert in the paranormal and no one knows more than they do, and or they have the most experience, I've run into a lot of people like that. This is where a lot of the paranormal drama comes in, because you have people saying, I'm the best Bigfoot hunter in the world, or I'm the best ghost hunter. It's because ego. Ego is the problem. And they're out there, you know, making waves because they claim they're the best, and then you have the result as being drama. So when you hear things like that, or people say things like that, you got to just stay grounded and not believe everything you hear. Because it's, trust me, in my experience as a very seasoned investigator, you need to remember my occupation as an investigator. So you need to remember that a lot of these things is just hocus pocus, or just out fakery. Now, there are some things, some phenomena out there that I have encountered that I cannot explain. But whenever I had done an investigation, I never called anything a ghost. I called it an, you know, because I've gotten some trippy stuff on, you know, video, like ghosts, but I will never call it a ghost. It's a you know, an unknown manifestation or something like that, because we don't know. So just a word to the wise, the people out there, don't believe everything you read. Don't follow people blindly because they say they are the best, because that will just lead you down a road of confusion, and you'll end up in some place in Central America like Jonestown, drinking cyanide Kool-Aid. So, yep. And, you know, we had a comment in chat. Some people are haunted and they need help. In my experience, I have experienced the paranormal. If you've listened to any of the shows or some other shows that I've been on, I'm a big UFO person and I am a paranormal investigator. I have encountered things in my life that is unexplained. And I do believe that, you know, there are some people that are haunted. But trying to determine what exactly the degree of them being haunted or what's haunting them is difficult. I have used psychics on investigations that are accurate, but, you know, I'm an investigator. I'm always kind of a skeptic with that. You know, in one of the things, kind of a theory that I have, and this will kind of rub people the wrong way, is I almost wonder, I mean, and this is like some quantum mechanics stuff, what if people are actually creating the haunting? What if there is no external spirit? What if people are actually manifesting it into the reality in some unknown way? Because I was wondering about that with demon possession and demons and stuff like that. Because I know I've talked to bishops and stuff before that swear up and down, stuff flying around the room, people possessed, you know, crawling on the ceiling. Well, not that. But you know what I mean? What if people have the ability to manifest this stuff into the reality? And there is actually some scientific evidence fairly recently that basically said that we do have a non-physical effect on our physical environment, and they were able to reproduce it on a very, very subatomic level. So that kind of got me thinking, is maybe some of these people that feel that they're haunted are actually creating this reality. Now, that means that they are physically affecting the world around them. So yeah, stuff can move and you can see apparitions and stuff like that. Or maybe I'm totally wrong. I don't know. But it's an interesting theory to think about. You know, there are some things that would suggest against that, obviously, when you're dealing with like residual hauntings and stuff like that, where maybe the individual isn't haunted, but a location is, maybe like seeing a ghost ship. Well, how could somebody create that into the reality? I don't know. But the bottom line is that I think we all should keep an open mind with the paranormal. Let's stay out of the drama and not believe everything that you see. Now, I'm looking at my clock here. Okay, so we still got a little bit of time here. Paranormal tips. I was on an investigation one time, and this was one of my first investigations. We had a K2 meter. If you watch the ghost hunting shows, you'll know exactly what that is. It kind of lights up. It's actually used to find studs in walls or electricity. I don't know, whatever. Anyways, an EMF meter is detects electromagnetic radiation. I actually have two. I have a really nice one, a MEL meter. But the K2 meter is kind of something that paranormal investigators use to communicate with the spirit world because it lights up. So you can say, if the answer is yes, then make it light up or whatever. One of the interesting things that I learned with specifically the K2 meter is we were conducting an investigation and we were asking questions with it, and it would light up, I swear, every time we asked a question. This thing would go into the red. Now, obviously, before we conducted an investigation, we would go through the house and find the hot spots, because anything that is generating electricity passing through, it will give off electromagnetic radiation. So we find out where those hot spots are. And this wasn't one of those hot spots, and this thing is lighting up. So we were sure that this place was haunted. And we were kind of perplexed by it. We were like, oh my God, you know, my heart starts pounding, and we thought for sure there were ghosts here. See, I told you I'd find a spot to throw in a sound effect. Anyway, after a few minutes of this, you know, we were really excited. And I finally realized what it was. And a lot of seasoned investigators will know this, but at the time, I wasn't aware of it. Somebody had their cell phone on. And whether you know it or not, whenever you receive or send a text, it'll do that. But your cell phone also communicates independently, which is scary too, because NSA probably is tapping into it or using your camera on your phone to watch you. But any time your phone communicates, and it doesn't have to be close to the K2 meter, it lit up, and just for some weird reason, it would be communicating when we were asking the questions. And I figured that out because I overthink everything, so I figured it out fairly quick. So that was kind of an interesting thing. So if you're ever ghost hunting, make sure that you turn your phone off or put it in airplane mode, because that will cause that. The other tip that I have is hypnagogia, and also sleep paralysis. You know, when you sleep at night, you hear a lot of people out there that are talking about they wake up in the middle of the night, it feels like something's standing on their chest, they see a demon over them, or some crazy little ring kid, girl, Samara, crawling on the ceiling sort of thing, and they're terrified. I've actually experienced this several times, not in many years, though. But one thing that your body does when you sleep is there's a mechanism in your brain that shuts your body down. And it's a protection mechanism so that when you're in REM sleep, you don't act out your dreams and you don't move a lot. What happens sometimes is this mechanism gets out of whack and you can have things such as sleep paralysis, and it's not that rare. The other thing with hypnagogia, which are basically hallucinations, is that when you're in these weird transition states where your brain's not clicking over correctly, you can have very vivid hallucinations. And this actually happened to me once. I was working graveyard at my dad's hotel, and it was okay to sleep there, so I'd go in the meeting room and sleep, and there was a phone outside, so if somebody wanted to check in, they could just pick up the phone, it would ring, I'd get up, blah, 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 blah. Well, one night, I got up, and I saw one of the chairs, and it wasn't on wheels. It was sliding back and forth, like repeatedly, and I'm staring at it, sliding, you know, 3 feet back and forth. Not only that, I could hear it on the floor, right? It was scary. And so I get out of there and I go up to the front desk and I'm like completely freaked out for the entire evening. And so that's hypnagogia. I also had it where I woke up one night and saw a man standing in my closet. When you have these hallucinations, you cannot tell the difference between reality and what's not. It is real. It's real. So if you are an individual out there that is having these visitations at night or having these episodes of sleep paralysis, know that it is fairly common. And before you start thinking that you're possessed by demons, usually, as Occam Razor states, the most likely explanation is usually the true one. So I'm not saying for everybody out there that has been visited in the evening that's what it is, but keep an open mind because these things do happen. In fact, there are some people that suffer from this severely and do crazy things in their sleep, worse than sleepwalking. I mean, I'm talking they go psycho and can hurt people. So just know that these things do happen, and if you do see something, it's not necessarily paranormal. On the flip side of that, if these things happen regularly and you have other supporting information, other supporting evidence that kind of supports the fact that there may be something paranormal going on. So if you're waking up in the middle of the night and you have this ghostly little girl hovering over you, but also during the day you also have, you know, stuff moving or hearing stuff, you know, that might add some validity to the fact that there would be something paranormal going on. So the moral of the story is just because you experience those things, not to automatically assume that your house is haunted or you're possessed by demons. Because as I was discussing earlier, we all want to be critical thinkers, because critical thinkers stay alive. They don't go into things blindly. They don't end up in cults. They don't end up ripped off because some person in Africa, and I can't remember the specific country because I just watched a documentary on it, the computer crime, you know, the Nigerian scammers that scam you out of your money. Hey, I have $3 million and I want to give it to you. You just have to give me $5,000 and I'll send you a check. We want to be critical thinkers so that we don't fall for these paranormal pitfalls. Also scammers and everything else. Trust me, you'll live longer if you think harder. I think I just coined a phrase. You'll live longer if you think harder. Anyway, And with paranormal tips, you always want to keep in mind that, you know, your house has pressure in it. And this is an obvious one that I've been in locations where, because windows were cracked open or whatever, that it'll open and close doors. So always keep in mind that there are certain things that can cause doors to open and close, and common stuff, even simple things like stepping on floorboards, which kind of loosen up the door. Another thing is with televisions. You know, a few years ago, I was having all sorts of crazy things happen in my house. I would wake up in the middle of the night, and trust me, this is scary. Well, it's scary to me anyway. The TV would turn on by itself. But not only that, it would cycle through the channels. It would go into the menu options and cycle through them. And it was happening repeatedly. It would freak me out. I mean, you can imagine walking down the stairs, and it's doing all sorts of crazy stuff. So one thing to keep in mind with televisions is sometimes when you live in apartments, you have people with the same kind of remotes on the same frequency, and sometimes that affects televisions. Whether or not that was the case in my case, I don't know, but it sure creeped me out. So always keep in mind. So those are a few paranormal tips. If you are experiencing paranormal activity or know somebody that is, let's just keep an open mind and be critical thinkers. So I went through some news, and unfortunately I didn't think to download a news intro. We've always kept that for Beyond the Edge of Reality, but I could try to do it with my voice, but it would sound absolutely ridiculous, so I won't. So I have three news stories here that I wanted to touch a little bit. I do have somebody in queue. Okay, we'll bring him in a second. Looks like it's Evan. So three news stories real quick. A Maryland woman stabs to death her two toddlers because she thought the devil was inside them. Oh, boy. Yeah, that's kind of crazy. She thought she was performing an exorcism on her kids by stabbing them to death. How disturbing is that? Does that not tell you what the state of of our society is in? The woman clearly is mentally ill, but she killed her two kids and stabbed them to death because she thought they were possessed by the devil. Yeah, that's disturbing. Naturally, this woman is in jail. I'm sure she'll spend the rest of her life in prison. So, yeah, not much on that one. Just a tragic story of somebody that is completely mental. I do not for a second believe that her kids had the devil inside them. I think she was just twisted. Leo DiCaprio is sometimes scared of his house because he hears strange sounds. He says he doesn't believe in ghosts or that his house is haunted, but he wakes up oftentimes in the night frightened because he thinks there's an intruder in the house because he hears weird sounds. I could imagine being a really famous actor, because you know these famous actors, they don't just live in these new, well, they do live in new houses, but, you know, they usually buy these really old mansions, you know, that other famous actors have owned in the past. So I don't know if that's the case in his case, but I could imagine maybe he does live in a haunted house, because I could see him living in some 1920 giant mansion. So who knows? But nevertheless, he is sometimes frightened in his house. It's a good thing it wasn't me, because if it was me, I would probably be running around with a gun and would probably end up shooting something, just because I'm paranoid like that. Jason Hawes of Ghost Hunter's wife is in the ICU with a brain infection. Apparently, this was earlier in December. I don't know how she's doing now. It's serious. She's on a ventilator. So, and you know, I'm pretty much a hypochondriac and know a lot about medicine, but I'm not exactly sure what a brain infection specifically refers to. If it's some kind of encephalitis or whatever, but it does sound serious, so we always want to make sure that we keep our paranormal ghost friends in our hearts and hope the best for his wife. After this, I'm probably going to see if I can find online how she's doing, because I know anything having to deal with the brain is rather serious. Stuff like meningitis and stuff like that can be oftentimes fatal or leave you with some kind of brain damage. And without further ado, I'm going to go to our caller. Hey, caller.
Hey, how are you doing, Jason?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Doing good, doing good. Hey, you sound real good on the radio. I just wanted to let you know that, you know, you sound real good. I don't know what you did, but the sound is really, really coming across great. And we're looking forward to seeing all your shows again. And it's kind of a blessing to have you back, you know, in the studio again. It's another show coming live from good old Portland, Oregon. And that, you know, pretty much says a lot right there.
Yeah, well, thank you. You know, doing things a little bit differently, I kind of decided to bite the bullet and try Skype. And I wasn't sure how that was going to work because my internet's so bad. But from what I hear, it's okay. It might be skippy a little bit, but it seems to be working tonight because, as we both know, Skype isn't 100% all the time.
No, it's not. So you gotta kind of chalk that up to having a good show then, because, I mean, you know, Skype has messed up on me many times, and it always seems to happen either at the beginning or at the end of the show. So from what I've been listening, yeah, it sounds real good. Sounds real good, and I'm really stoked to have you back on board again and doing your shows. And I know you've been busy with school and all that, and so in the paranormal news, you know, you were talking, you know, a lot about that exorcism gone bad. And it's just, I've been doing some research on that church, and man, you're talking about the cult. You talk about a cult, that's what it is. And so it makes you kind of wonder, you know, did they have something to do with it? Are their beliefs that, you know, drastic, or is this just some crazed out lunatic that decided she had to stab her kids with a knife, you know, and then maybe using the exorcism as a sanity plea or something?
Yeah, I would imagine that's probably the case. Because I've seen that before, you know, where when you have a bad parent and they're just, their kids drive them so crazy that they go mental, I would imagine that she probably just went completely postal and was like, oh, crap, what do I do now? You know, I'm just going to say that they were possessed and evil, you know, which is just horrifying.
Oh, it really is. It's another black eye in the paranormal, you know, community as far as I'm concerned. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to more information that comes out about that, but it's happening more and more. More and more of these people are using the para field as a target, you know, and using it as an excuse for, you know, the bad things they've done. And it's kind of sad, really.
Well, yeah, and the first part of the show was my take on the drama, which I don't want to – I didn't give any details or anything, but I will agree with you. There's a lot of just nastiness in the paranormal world that is really kind of boggles the mind.
Yeah, you know, and one thing I wanted to talk about, if you have a few minutes, is para-unity.
Yeah.
Para-unity, I'm just wondering, I'm thankful for the followers that we have and for all our friends and everything. And I'm looking at all these, you know, I'm getting no less than 50 comments about all this paradrama going on, and they're all centered around paracons. And I just don't understand it. It's like I'm really hesitant to even accept an invite into any paracon now. And that's a lot of drama that's going on out there. People are leaving groups and not agreeing with what they're saying, and you kind of wonder, you know, if the dark side, if you will, has starting to take its toll on our paranormal researchers, our teams, that sort of thing. You got to kind of wonder what's really going on out there. And then you also know that, you know, that the demonic type activity is on a rise right now, and it's spiking. It's not lessening, and we have more and more groups out there, more researchers and more people trying to understand this parascience. So you got to ask yourself a couple questions. One of them is, are we doing the right thing out there, or are we actually helping to promote some of the paranormal activity that's going on out there? You know, that's another question that I'd like to ask, you know, people and have them think about it. I'm not sure what your thinking is on this.
Well, I try and avoid these paracons. I've been to one concert in my life, and it's just a whole bunch of ego when you go there. You have people there and displaying all their fancy equipment, and it's just everybody thinks they're the best, you know. And I'm not going to mention names, but one of the people that is really public and obvious about their ego is, you know, the person that shot the Bigfoot. You know,
can I mention his name? Because the BTR radio network has no problems with putting out the news that's already been syndicated.
Go for it. I can't. I'm not going to censor you.
Well, okay. I'll just put it out this way. You know, the BTR radio network, and I'm going to tell my name. My name's Evan Jensen. We're proud to announce that, yeah, Rick Dyer is a con artist. He's fooled people for years. He's made the movie, you know, I Shot Bigfoot, you know, with the gun going off at the end, and just a, you know, what a cluster. Yeah, even Chewy is a little upset over the whole thing. But, you know, now he's got these books out, and you think, okay, well, it's going to quiet down. He's done with everything. And the problem is, he's just going to move on from one scheme to the next scheme. And it's like, people, we need to shut these people down. It's not good. It gives everybody a false incentive to go out and do the same things that he does for fame and publicity and the dollar, the big check. He's gotten some good money out of this. But in the end, there's a thing called karma, Jason, and I think it'll catch him. It'll catch him, you know. Yeah, it's sad. I won't have him on my show. We had him on our show once, and he was a good guest and everything. We just wanted to get the story out. But as far as endorsing or supporting or, you know, liking what it does, that's definitely not something I want to endorse.
Yeah, I can't say for certain that he has not shot Bigfoot. But I'm basing my opinion on the fact that in 2008, he did the same thing. The fact that out of all the thousands of years, or the last couple hundred years of modern man, that Rick Dyer is the only person that has ever managed to come up with a body, I mean, that's very coincidental.
Yeah.
You know, out of all the hunters that are out there in the wilderness. But, you know, again, I can't say for sure. I would love to be proven wrong on this. I would love for him to have a body and shove it in everybody's face. But sadly, I don't think that's going to be the case. And he, if in fact it is fake, which I'm sure it is, he is going to ride this as long as he can. But, I mean, it's going to, when the castle all comes crumbling down, you know, he's gonna have a lot of haters.
Oh, he is. He has a lot of haters, but you see, in a post that in an inbox message he gave to me, he said that the more haters, the more popular everything becomes. So it's a popularity contest for him. He doesn't care about people that like him. He wants people to hate him. I don't hate him, and so therefore he doesn't get he doesn't get much from us. He doesn't get a lot of publicity. It's because it's what he wants, so you just kind of go the other way with it.
Well, he told us that, you know, don't quote me, it's been a while, but I do recall him telling us that negative attention is better than no attention.
Yeah, that sounds like one of his posts that he makes, and he'll tell you that. Negative attention is definitely good for him, but I'm kind of learning that it can also come back to bite you, and when it does, it comes back all at one time. And so I'm just waiting. You know, people will get tired. And I think a lot of people, your professionals out there, you know, that are really good, you know, cryptid researchers and so forth, they don't even look at them. They won't talk to them at all. And, you know, they just kind of, they'll ignore them. because they know the difference, and that's the key. There is the people that are following him. They don't know any. They don't have a clue. They don't know the difference, and so they're going to be kind of led to follow his nonsense. But there's a lot of other people out there too that are like that. There's another alleged cryptid researcher, but I'm not sure if we want to go into details about him or not.
No, I wouldn't.
It's not worth the time, and it's not even worth it. So I just kind of staying away from that a little bit now. I mean, I brought out a story a couple of weeks ago, and I haven't really done too much since, that sort of thing. But somebody in chat, as I'm looking at it here, they are asking me how you feel about the radiation in Oregon, because I did a show and we were talking about the levels. You know, I know this isn't paranormal, but it is kind of weird, and maybe I have a little tie to the paranormal, and you can hit on that if you want. But I tried growing a whole bunch of vegetables this year, and our radiation count is so high in Oregon that not one of the plants produced. When they did produce a few things, they were like hard as a rock. Just horrible. You couldn't get any. They're not even edible. And then I found out through some research that our gardening had something to do with that this year, with the radiation levels being that high and so forth. And I'm wondering also if radiation controls weather and so forth, do you think, in your opinion, that the weather could be causing a lot of these spikes in paranormal activity as well?
Well, it's funny you bring up this radiation thing, because it's actually something that I do follow on an occasional basis. I don't think the levels are severe at all. I do follow it. Basically, you wouldn't want to trust anything the government says. So I go to a website called the Radiation Network, and what it is it's a bunch of people out there that have their own Geiger counters and, take their own readings, and their readings are all automatic. They're connected to their computer and uploaded in the internet. Now, pre-Fukushima, the radiation is measured in CPM, which is counts per minute. Pre-Fukushima, it was 8 CPM averaging in Oregon. After Fukushima, we're seeing 26, 25, 24 CPM consistently, but you have to remember that even those levels aren't dangerous. The federal alert level for radiation is 100 CPM. Now, it would be interesting to take a Geiger counter actually to the coast on the beach and see what those levels are, because I know somebody did that in California, and they were registering like 150 or more CPM on the coast. And it was funny because he posted that video of his Geiger counter and actually got the attention of health individuals that are looking into it. So there's undoubtedly an increase in radiation, but I would be more concerned if I was living like on a beach or something like that.
Yeah, but that's incredible. It's still, even in just in our city of Portland here, you're looking at three or four times the elevated amount, from what it normally is. So that's still, although it cannot maybe harm you, it's still extremely high and still has an adverse effect on a lot of different things.
I would be concerned if I was a frequent flyer, because some people might not be aware of this, but when you're on an airplane, there's less atmosphere and you get a lot more radiation. Interestingly, I saw a video of somebody flying on the West Coast, and he took his Geiger counter out mid-flight, and it was registering astronomical numbers. I mean, we're talking 3 and 5,000 CPM.
What?
So I would stay out of the air, because I don't know how CPM converts to millisieverts. There are a bunch of different measurements for radiation. You can't really take CPM and turn it easily into a dosage. Like if you get a CAT scan, you get a certain dosage. So I don't know how that equates. All I know is that if you're in the air, at 30,000 feet, you're going to get blasted.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, I was here in towards the middle or end of February, I was going to take off for about a week. I probably might want to drive.
Yeah. Well, you're always going to get a lot more radiation in the air, but the numbers that he was showing on his Geiger counter were, I mean, they were obscene.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, I'll drive. I'll just take another extra day or so, but I'll drive then.
Yeah, and I would stay away from seafood, too, because I don't think that there's a, you know, there's a lot of people. Unfortunately, people are driven by fear, and they like to make people afraid. You know, this is the news, the government. They want you to be afraid of everything. They want you to be afraid of getting the flu. They want you to be afraid you're going to get mugged at night. And that's kind of what drives our society is fear. And what you see out there is people out there going that Fukushima is 1,000 times worse than Chernobyl. We're all going to get cancer and this and that. And I don't feel that that's the case. I do feel, however, that the dangerous levels of radiation are going to be primarily concentrated in the sea life, so I would not eat a lot of seafood. Because you have to remember, there's 5,000 miles between here and Japan. Chernobyl's indifferent in the effect that it blasted all this radiation in a huge plume over, you know, a populated, semi-populated area, and it drifted. All that stuff that blew out of Fukushima is being dissipated, you know, into the ocean eventually. So I think the greatest risk, like I said, is, you know, I'd watch what you eat out of the ocean.
Yeah, that's true. We haven't been eating a lot of fish either, thank God. But yeah, I completely agree, because it is something that is very serious. And, you know, I still think, though, that it has this weather change. You know, we experienced some of the coldest weather patterns anywhere in the United States, and even down in Florida, it got down to like 22 degrees, which is unheard of there. And I think the weather patterns that we're seeing now has a big effect on what's going on paranormal wise too. Because as soon as the weather started hitting like this, we had a lot more paranormal activity out there. I got 3 cases here, and 2 in Portland and 1 in Fort Lewis in Washington that we need to get done too. And I picked up another one today. That's 4. And it just seems like, you know, the activity is really on the rise. I don't know if you've taken notice or what your thinking is on that.
I've been totally separated from doing paranormal investigations, but, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, weather could have some effect. I mean, you know, there's always that theory of water amplifying paranormal activity, like rivers or lakes and stuff like that. So if that is in fact true, then why not, you know, maybe storms and electrical discharges and temperature? I mean, who knows? But I'm not connected with it, so people don't usually contact me for, you know, to do any investigations.
Well, you're kind of lucky, because I seem to get hit on every day. Every day. But, I mean, there's just so much you can do and so much you can't do. And, you know, so, but I've had to cut way back. I just can't do as much as I used to, and with everything that's going on. I gotta like that. I like that show.
Is your place still haunted? What's going on there?
Yeah, it is, but it never comes around when the wife is home. Nothing. I go woke up about 2:30 last night, and I said, "To heck with this! I'm going to go lay in the front room." For some reason, the front room's a comfort zone. I don't know why, but it was just weird. Now I know you're talking about this hypnagogia stuff, but man, it was awfully real. Now, I was in a dream state, obviously. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I was drooling. I tell you, I was asleep hard. But then you wake up, and then you experience it. So is it still part of that sequence, or is it something that's actually manifesting, or are you manifesting it, you know, in the back of your mind somehow, your subconscious thought, whatever? So there's a lot of things to think about when that stuff happens, and but you know, that apparition you saw in the bathroom, you were definitely awake. Do you remember that incident, Jason?
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty sensitive when it comes to, like, paranormal vibes. I mean, I can walk by a house and get vibes off of it, but your place just has a weird vibe. I don't know, but I did see briefly something that I could not describe in your bathroom as I went around the corner, and I just saw it, you know, for a second or two. I literally almost walked right into it, and I was like, whoa, caught me off guard.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I know you, I remember you came walking in, you know, from the hallway there, and your eyes were pretty big, and I'm like, what happened? Right away, I figured you had saw something, because it just looked like, well, I just knew that you had seen something. Your expression and your eyes were really big, and it's like, gosh, you saw something, what is it? And then, you know, and I was kind of laughing for a little while. I was kind of making fun, you know, but we've had things happen here that my daughter's seen and I've seen and you've seen, and so there's definitely something at some point, but I don't think it's anything that stays here. I think it's something that is, I call it a traveler, because I've talked to about 8 or 9 other people in the complex, and they too have had the same similar incidents within, you know, 10 places, where 10 apartments where I live here. And I have never really told them what's going on, but they, so I've, you know, gotten their stories, and they all kind of match to what I've seen and what you've seen and what we think is going on, and it's kind of weird, but you know, there is some history here. I didn't know until about 2 months ago, but the pump house here is very haunted. It's been, a lot of stuff written on it here in Milwaukee, and, it's right, you know, right within, you know, 50 feet of our complex here. So you got to wonder, you know, if it's something from there or somewhere else. But we have that natural. Go ahead.
Well, I know when I was there, there's always a real mild underlining of vibe there. But there were at least 2 times where I could feel something there. It was giving me, I was having, you know, because I was there to co-host Beyond the Edge of Reality, and I was starting to have panic attacks. I mean, that's how it affected me.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, have you had a lot of panic attacks, that sort of symptoms, since you've left, and you haven't been back since?
Nope. I have not. I mean, I've had panic attacks before. I have. Like, I'm always a little anxious, but it when whatever is going on there, when it's present when I'm there, it really sets off my bells and whistles, like, whoa. I don't know. I think I told you, every time that I left your place and I was in my car, mm-hmm. I did the same thing I did whenever I went to an investigation, you know, nothing's allowed to follow me home, blah, 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 because, I mean, I think something's there, but, you know, I'm an investigator, so I don't know, you know, maybe it's all in my head, but just to be on the safe side, I'd always have my own little mental thing that I'd say, just in case it's not in my head.
Yeah, well, you know, you have to, yeah, no, I definitely can understand that. I mean, I've had complete strangers in the house, you know. I had one lady that I thought she was a nutball at first. She was a neighbor. She came in for something, and I was on the phone, I think, with my sister at the time, and I don't know what she wanted, sugar or something, and she turns to me out of the blue, and I hadn't known her for like a week, I think, and she's like, you know, you've got something in your house, and I'm looking, did a rat walk by, is there another cat in my house, or what, and I'm looking around, I'm like, okay, what are we talking about here? And she straight up, she says, yeah, you definitely have something in your house. And I said, okay. And as I'm talking to her, she explained that it was like an entity. And I wanted to go back and talk to her, you know, further. And then a week later, they had all moved. So I don't know what the deal, I never found out what the deal was there, who she was, or any of that, other than the few comments, you know, she had made to me. And that was about 3 weeks after you had done the last show in the house here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think.
Go ahead.
Are you there?
I interrupted you again, man.
No, it's what listeners. There's always about a second delay between people talk, but you're kind of breaking up. So I don't know if it's it could be on my end because I'm uploading my audio, but then I'm also listening to you. I think it's just my crappy internet. But I was going to ask you off subject. Now, I left Beyond the Edge of Reality several months ago. Now you're doing a lot of shows now, aren't you?
Yeah, we have quite a few shows going right now, and I got 5 more coming. And then not including, I also have Will Pritchard of High Voltage Radio will be coming on board as well. So we'll definitely be doing some shows out there, and I got a couple more people on top of that I'm talking to. And I just talked to a guy named Rob Holloway that will be coming on. I'm going to have him come on your show and mine. Rob Holloway is the producer of this TV show coming out called 72 Hours. And he's going to come on the show. He's also got a ghost show coming out. He's writing the script for it now. It's in the works. And he's got an amazing story that will probably not let you sleep for a month. And
awesome.
So, yeah, it is awesome. And he's done a lot of these, you know, he's done a lot of shows. And so we got him coming on, and I was on the phone. I tuned into your show a little late today because I spent about 15, 20 minutes with him on the phone as he went live, so that's why I came in late. And so we're looking forward to working with him. And he's also told me that anybody that has any really good ghost stories or anything, to submit the idea to him, and he wants to start working with a lot of people in the para fields and so forth. And so he's a good one. And you've actually done some casting calls, and you filled in for an extra several times, didn't you?
Yeah, I've been in quite a few commercials, a couple movies. I kind of got out of it. I was getting called rather frequently. I'll tell you what's funny about the whole thing, how I got involved in that, is a talent agent spotted me at a horse barn and approached me.
At a horse barn?
Yeah, she thought I was unique looking. You know, I don't know. I am unique looking, and I'll tell you, I would never be a good bank robber because my face is really recognizable.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't think I'd be a very good bank robber either. I'm 5'5". They'd be like, "Yeah, the short guy did it." And I'd be busted right away. The short guy did it. They put me in a lineup, and everyone's 6'4". I got problems.
Oh God! Well, now you're so all these shows are keeping you pretty busy, I know.
They are. They're keeping me real busy, but we've got some new players on board. One guy that was working on our website is Brian Mays from the Oregon Ghost Society. He's a great guy. We should give him a big shout out for all the work that he's done. He also brought in this producer guy, Rob Holloway. He's a personal friend. They went to school together and put me in touch with him today. And so things happening there. And working on a new website. And I'm hoping that by next week you'll be able to use the chat room for Beyond the Edge of Reality or the BTOR Radio Network. We also have an affiliate page where you can click that page and you're in chat and so on. And we can do the same thing for your shows that we're doing, and it's a good advancement, I think.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like all your shows are going in the right direction. You know, I mean, definitely keeping you busy. I don't know how you do it. I mean, it's hard enough just trying to do one show a week, and you know, I haven't really put much energy into this show lately, but I don't know how. I don't know how.
I mean, once you get, you know, once you get a little bit of free time, it's no big deal. And I found out one thing: if you relax for even a minute, and you don't, you got to stay in that loop, because the people you want on your show and so forth, if you get out of touch, or, you know, then it's hard to get them booked. They don't know who you are. It's really tough. And so I was falling out of that for quite a while because I was just doing other things that, well, they were meaningless, really. And then it took me a lot of time with this Rory Clark's deal, and then, you know, trying to bring out what happened in the case and so on. And that took almost a month. But now, yeah, I'm back and concentrating on booking. I've got the shows booked all the way up through March, and that's 5 different shows. So we're doing good there. And now I got to work on the blog talk links, the affiliate program, which I need to share with you off air tomorrow, so we can get your affiliate links up and running on your web page. You should be able to use BeyondTheEdgeOfReality.com, so when they click on that, you're all fired up and ready to go. So we need to get that handled for you and fixed for you, too.
Cool. Well, hey, I think, you know, we ran 15 minutes over. I think I'm going to close the show. I got to get something to eat. I'm starving. I haven't ate anything, so.
Well, I hear you. I just wanted to give you a shout-out, and I
appreciate
plan on being on this long, but it was fun, and I want you to host a couple of shows with us from time to time, too, and I'll help you do some other stuff and get you back on track again.
Yep, I'm definitely, you know, I got my first 2 weeks of school done, so I kind of got that whole thing figured out, so I think I'm ready to get back in the game. I did also want to mention that our show time's probably going to change. It'll probably actually go across in the afternoon. I'm not sure exactly what day yet. I think we're gonna step away from the evening and move towards the day.
Well, that's cool. That's cool, and that's good to hear. That's a whole different listening audience and a whole listening time. So just you know, keep me informed of when the links are, and I'll help you promote the show and get it all going really good again. And you know. When people start seeing your link here, they'll know you're back up and running again, and you'll have some really, really good shows.
Awesome. Well, hey, I think I'm going to close the show, but I want the listeners not to hang up just yet or stop listening just yet, because I'm going to play, I've played this once before on a previous show, but I'm going to play a comedy segment that I did, and it's kind of foul, and it's really dumb. And I'm going to play it because it amuses me. Some people might not think it's funny, but I think it's pretty funny. And with that, thank you, Evan, for calling in and then killing some time on the show. And here's my retarded comedy.
I'm Jason O'Fee, and I'm here to tell you about an amazing new product. Do you ever want to connect with a deceased loved one or possibly a demon? Do you find yourself not having enough time during the day to talk to the dead with your Ouija board? Well, now you can. Introducing Ouija Wipes. Ouija Wipes is a solution for you. Now you can take your potty time and turn it into a fun demon summoning session. Ouija Wipes are designed to reach those hard-to-get cracks. Each time you wipe your bottom, the printed Ouija-style letters will be worn or soiled to reveal your personal message. After wiping, simply look at which letters are dirty. Ouija wipes are made of 100% cotton and safe to use. If you order now, we will also throw in an additional order of Ouija wipes. So sit back, enjoy your potty time,
Mother of God,
and see what amazing messages the afterlife has for you.